What's up, everybody? We're the Dynasty Diehards, and we are coming at you live today, a little earlier than usual, but we have got a lot to talk about. We've got some interesting league news with Allen Robinson going to the Steelers, Jalen Hurts gets the bag, the Commanders for sale, and Zay Flowers visiting with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes today. Well, it's another Wednesday, John, and we're back here. And thank God we always have news. Like, has a league done a better job than the NFL than making themselves constantly in the news? Like, if you think about it, there's NFL news every day. There's no rest from it. There's always something to talk about.
Yeah, there's always something. And, you know, we'll end the show and we'll be like, I don't know what we're going to talk about next week. Something happens.
Oh, something.
There's always stuff to discuss. We'll figure it out.
We know next week we're going to have a super amazing special show for the NFL draft because we're going to be live the day before. That's going to be some fun. But let's get into it here, John. The first thing I want to talk about, Jalen Hurts gets paid. $255 million over 5 years, $179.3 million of it is guaranteed. I mean, you can't argue with the fact that he earned this. He earned this bag, man. Like,
yeah, and I love to see it, you know. Last offseason, there was talk about whether or not he was even going to be their starting quarterback for the long term. If they had their guy, they have all this draft capital. Are they going to make a move for a quarterback? I'm glad that they didn't. I was pounding the table for it all last offseason saying, no, just surround the dude with talent, put together a roster around him, and see what you have before making a decision. Right. And that's what they did. They go out and they bring in A.J. Brown, and now suddenly you have Devonta Smith operating as a really, really, really good high-end wide receiver too, instead of asking him to be the wide receiver one in an offense. And everybody flourished. Hurts looked great. You know, he's still growing. He's still learning. But he took massive steps forward, and he proved that he's a leader. He's the guy in the clubhouse. He's a consummate professional. He's everything that you want your franchise quarterback to be. I think it was well-deserved. And honestly, I'm kind of shocked for him that he was able to convince them to only lock him down on a 5-year deal instead of it being some massive 8-year extension or something like that. He's going to have another crack potentially at free agency and getting another big contract from Philly, you know, 4 years from now, if they want to try to rework another extension for him. So good for him.
I think it's a good deal for both sides because, like you said, like they could have locked him in for like 7, 8, 9 years. This gives the team flexibility in 5 years. If Hurts is balling out still, they sign him to another big contract. No big deal, right? I mean, this isn't a player they're going to leave. Now, I want to touch on something I've kind of seen around social media is people saying, okay, well, now you have to go buy Jalen Hurts in Dynasty. If you weren't already in and buying in to Jalen Hurts after what happened last season in Dynasty formats, this shouldn't be the thing that gets you to buy in. Just because a guy gets paid, I mean – this might be kind of an older reference for some people, but if you remember Albert Haynesworth getting paid and then he saw the field like hardly at all the rest of his career, even though he got $100 million deal. Mm-hmm. So you should have been buying him in Dynasty anyways. And then something interesting that came from this deal coming out, if you saw the Ian Rappaport tweet about what Lamar Jackson was actually offered, apparently it was $200 million guaranteed. Do you believe that? Or is this just kind of a BS report? And why now is this coming out?
I think that Baltimore wants to get it done. I think the longer this drags out, the longer it's annoying for both sides. And there's no clarity on what's happening. The draft's in a week. Like, they need to know what's going on here. So in my opinion, I think they're going to try to hammer it out. This deal that Hurts got is actually remarkably similar to the one that Lamar turned down. So I think everyone's saying Lamar Jackson should be thrilled because of the money that Jalen Hurts got. And it's like, well, he already turned down this offer. In my opinion, it only gives more leverage to Baltimore, who's going, dude, we already tried to give you an offer like Jalen Hurts just got, and Hurts just led his team to the Super Bowl. Like, I don't know what more you want to get out of this deal, right? Like we'll give you something else similar to what we were already offering. But even Jalen Hurts, who was, you know, an MVP caliber quarterback last season, he was right in the conversation all the way to the end, led his team to the Super Bowl, best team in the NFC, doesn't get the fully guaranteed contract, it's not going to happen, Lamar. Right. It's not. You're not getting a fully guaranteed contract. Deshaun Watson was a random, desperate ploy by Cleveland, and the league is not going to allow that to become the norm for players. It's just not.
Oh, 100%. Now, we got a question in the chat from Jamie here. This is a good question. Are you drafting Hurts over Allen now in Dynasty if you're doing a startup?
I already was. I already have him over, over Allen. I think that he has more playmakers around him that we know are already locked in. I think that he's shown as much or more rushing ability than what you have out of Allen. I think the arm talent is there. I already had Hurts ranked above Allen. They're close. Like, you know, Allen's still an elite quarterback in dynasty formats, but to me, it was already Hurts over Allen.
Well, and I think something that we saw this week as well was a quote from Josh Allen where he said, I have to start playing, not being a football player. I need to be a quarterback. I've always said, I want to be a football player. And he really does. He's got to stop running so much. He takes a beating. Unlike guys like Hurts and Fields, who are a lot more slippery than a guy like Josh Allen is, where Josh Allen runs with brute force. So I'm with you. I think Hurts has surpassed Allen in Dynasty. And I think that that actually probably happened more like a year ago for me anyways. Now, the second bit of news I want to talk about here is Allen Robinson lands in Pittsburgh with the Steelers. So now you've got George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, Allen Robinson, Pat Freiermuth as options for Kenny Pickett. But like for fantasy, this is, to me, it's just kind of meh.
I don't really care for Robinson. I don't really think it moves the needle a whole lot for Kenny Pickett. I think it's nice having a veteran in the room, but that veteran has bounced around in recent years. And there's been a lot of talk about like discontentment and stuff like that in the places that he's been. So I don't know that you're really bringing in like a real character veteran kind of guy, you know, to stabilize and teach the young bucks. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's not necessarily that kind of wide receiver group leader, in my opinion. I don't know the guy personally. I'm not in the locker room, but just from what I've heard, that's what it kind of sounds like. Now, in terms of actually teaching the young guys stuff about reading defenses and how to play football, yeah, I think it's great to bring him in. I don't know what more Kenny Pickett needs to have around him. This is a pretty loaded group of playmakers. And if Pickett can't thrive this year, or at least take a big step forward, then I don't know if Pickett's a long-term answer.
Well, I think Pickett's going to take a step forward. I think we saw him taking steps forward at the end of last season. We saw him a little more comfortable on the field from where he was when he took over the starting job from Mitchell Trubisky. Do you have any desire to acquire Allen Robinson, even as like a bench stash in Dynasty at this point?
I just don't know what I'm going to give up for him. He has had availability issues getting on the field. He couldn't buy a target last year in LA, even though he was wide open for some reason. So I don't know. He's not going to help my team if I'm looking to make a championship run, and he's way up on the age scale. So to me, he's a tough, like if I'm rebuilding, I don't want Allen Robinson. And if I'm contending, I don't think that he's cracking my starting lineup. So I don't know, like maybe a third, maybe I'd toss a third out for Allen Robinson, just have a, you know, another body on the bench in case of injuries. But I think that's,
man, that's more than I was going to say a fourth round pick.
Yeah. Like it's hard,
right? Most. And if I'm in a league with five rounds in my rookie draft here, you can have my fifth round pick. That's all I'm willing to give up is my last pick. I just don't see it. He hasn't been fantasy relevant since 2020, and he had a great season in 2020. He was the PPR wide receiver 7, but there's no way he's even a top 36 in this offense at this point.
Like, peep the hat, man. Like, I'm very intimately familiar with Allen Robinson, the player. I loved him in his prime. He was fantastic. Sure. And I wish that prime Allen Robinson got a quarterback, and it just never happened for him.
So well, and it sucks. That 30-year-old fall off for wide receivers, unless you're like Jerry Rice and John Taylor, is a very real thing nowadays. It's a different game. So, yeah, I'm with you. Like, don't go out and try and get Allen Robinson. This isn't going to be good. They've got Deontay Johnson. They've got George Pickens. And this doesn't affect George Pickens. If you're out there thinking, well, crap, this is bad for George Pickens, get that out of your brain. George Pickens is going to be absolutely fine. Now, this is kind of big news. We knew it was coming, but it sounds like the Washington Commanders are going to be sold to the Josh Harris Group, a guy who has been known to go into a franchise, clean house, and get them back to winning. He did it with the 76ers most recently. Now, There was a tweet that I saw last week from Jake Trowbridge. If you're not familiar with him, go find him on Twitter. The dude is a riot.
Love Jake. Yeah.
And incredibly smart when it comes to fantasy.
Even though he's, you know, a Packers fan, but whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, we can't all be perfect, right?
Right, yeah.
So he said, it's time to fire Dan Snyder off into the sun, which I completely agree with. Glad this is happening. We're going to see a culture shift in Washington. And I think we're going to start to see, like, this is good for Terry McLaurin, man. This is good for Brian Robinson. This is probably good for guys like Antonio Gibson, Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel. I think these guys...
Dotson, for some reason, is being slept on entering his second year, and I'm not really sure why, because he had a really, really solid rookie season with horrible quarterback play. So, in my opinion, he's still a value right now. I mean, if you can give up a rookie second and go get Dotson, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Sure. There's still concerns at quarterback, because, I mean, we're talking Sam Howell here, right?
No, I know, but like, if you can get a second-year wide receiver who was promising, like, I don't think he's going to have a second-year breakout by any means, like a massive second season.
Sure.
But this is a team that's potentially looking for a quarterback. They might make a move in the draft. We don't know. They might make a move for a quarterback. And if they're not, it's either Sam Howell takes a massive step forward, yay, or we're in contention for Caleb Williams or you know, Drake May next year. So I'd definitely be looking to acquire Dotson.
I love it. I can't disagree with you. I think people are just sleeping on him because he plays for the Commanders, and we haven't seen a lot of fantasy relevancy out of that team. Now, Bryce Young, he has rocketed up in the odds. It's currently -1400 on DraftKings to be the first overall pick. And then you've got Stroud closest to him is +700. And then the next is Anthony Richardson at +1500. Would you be willing to put a few bucks down on Stroud just in case something weird happens and he ends up actually going first? Because that's good odds.
Oh, yeah. No, because this is one of those things we just saw it happen in the NBA draft where everyone knew who the first pick was going to be. I know this isn't an NBA pod, but it was getting crazy lopsided. And then, like, literally an hour before the NBA draft, Paolo Banchero, all of a sudden reports are coming out. Oh, God, we think Orlando might be looking at taking Paolo Banchero. And at one point, his odds were, like, I think +2,500 or something like that to go first overall, and he was the first overall pick. It might be a smokescreen. I'll put a couple bucks down on Stroud at +700.
Would you put some coin down on Anthony Richardson at +1500?
That I'm not sure. I don't think that's the way they're leaning. Now, the odds are there, right? And you never know. If it's a smokescreen and it's going to be one of those two guys other than Young, if it is a smokescreen. So maybe it's worth sprinkling a couple bucks on both of them to see if it happens. I think it's going to be Young. I think all the reports are saying it's going to be Young.
Sure.
But crazy things happen, and maybe it's one giant smokescreen, and then they're going to come out and take Stroud and throw the entire draft on its head and make all the other teams, you know, have to panic and adjust.
Sure.
I don't know.
So the last thing I want to touch on, and this is news that came out this morning. You actually sent me this tweet. I may not have seen it had you not sent it. Zay Flowers was called down to Texas to work out with Patrick Mahomes at the Kansas City Chiefs' request. So we'll be quick about this, and maybe we'll get to it in our actual mock we've got coming up here. So the Chiefs are taking Flowers at 31 if he's still on the board, right? This is what this signals, obviously. But here's my question. If they like him enough and this workout goes well, do they trade up in the first round to make sure that they get him? Because what else does this team really need on offense? They need a wide receiver.
Yeah. I honestly could see it happening.
I could too.
Zay Flowers is very good at football. He's a guy I've been in love with for about 2 years now. I'm so happy that the spotlight's on him and that he's ascending up draft boards, and he seems like basically a lock to go first round. I love it. It's been so cool to see, and he's a playmaker, and they're bringing him for a private workout with Mahomes. Like, they're really putting, you know, a spotlight on him here. We want to see what Patrick thinks, pretty much is how I'm reading that. And if Pat Mahomes says, go get him, they might go get him. They listened to him on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, maybe not the best pick in the world, but apparently Mahomes wanted CEH, and they took CEH with the last pick in the first round in that draft. So I could absolutely see it happening, and I could see them trading up for it. They don't typically trade up, but I could see if they're just like, we have a wide receiver that we want to pair with Mahomes, let's make sure that we go get him. If you're the Giants, and you're sitting there in like the 20s, I'm forgetting exactly what number they are off the top of my head, 21, 26, 24.
Yeah. 26, I think.
That's right. 26 playoff team. Maybe it just takes that, right? Maybe you just have to jump frog, you know, leapfrog five or six teams to move up that are wide receiver needy there in those 20s range. If you're the Giants, why wouldn't you trade down and take more draft capital on a roster that needs more help? Oh, so 100%. A situation like that, I could totally see shaking out.
Yeah, same here. Well, you know what? We're already talking about it. So let's go ahead. Let's get into this mock draft, John. This is going to be interesting. I've done so many of these now this year. It's just been crazy. So we know that with the first pick, we know where that's going. It's Bryce Young, right? So let's go ahead and get this started here. We're going to start off with Bryce Young here at the first pick. And now this is where things get interesting. And we've got a question in the chat here I want to throw up. Do you think the Texans will pass on a QB this year and tank for Caleb Williams? Well, we're at the second pick. We've heard a lot of chatter that this is a possibility. Do they pass on Stroud and Richardson, John? I mean.
So I actually tweeted it out about an hour ago that I think they might, because they've got pick number 12, I think it is as well, right after Tennessee. I think that they might. I think that they might try to pass. And there might be a trade, you know, situation where they try to trade down if someone really wants to come up and get Stroud. But this is a D'Amico Ryans team now.
Right.
And D'Amico Ryans might just really want a Will Anderson as the bedrock of that defense, you know, going forward as a player that's going to anchor that defense for a long time. I was reading this morning, apparently this is news to me. I just found it out. CJ Stroud is represented by the same agent that has represented Deshaun Watson. You think that Houston wants to continue to negotiate with that agency on their quarterback position going forward? Maybe not. So I think that Houston wants Bryce Young. And if it's not Bryce Young, I think they might go Will Anderson. It's not what I would do, but I think there's a lot of smoke out there right now. And I think that it's something that is a situation worth playing out here in terms of this being an exercise, in terms of something that I think is a realistic possibility. So I'm going to say D'Amico Ryans gets his defensive anchor.
I'm with you. And they need this defensive anchor. This is a team that needs it. This is a team that once had Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt and now has nothing. So
nothing.
I'm here for it, man. So we're going to go Will Anderson here at number two. And that really kind of screws the Cardinals, because we know how bad the Cardinals wanted Will Anderson. Do they go Jalen Carter here then because he's on the board? Or is this the perfect situation for them to trade back?
I think if this situation transpires where it's Bryce Young, Will Anderson, Alabama players going 1-2 off the board, Arizona's phone is going to be blowing up with teams wanting to come up and get it.
Who do you think it is?
All offseason I've been saying Las Vegas, but I'm tempted for the sake of exercise here. I'm kind of tempted to say Atlanta might be willing to come up. They're a team that's interesting. I know that they've been hosting all the quarterbacks, which is just doing due diligence, but maybe they're willing to come up if CJ Stroud falls and they didn't think that he was a possible candidate for them to go make a trade for. I could also see Tennessee making.
I can see Tennessee as well. But though, and we'll obviously get to Tennessee's pick. I think Tennessee is kind of sitting on, like, Anthony Richardson will be around at 11, right? Or Will Levis, because we've heard that they like Will Levis as well.
Right.
For the sake of chaos, let's give it to the Falcons. Let's give this pick to the Falcons, a straight up trade, third for eighth, because, well, PFF is like, no, this is a terrible trade.
Right. We don't have to worry about the future draft capital involved in the trade.
Right. Yeah. So here we are. They're on the clock. CJ Stroud's on the board. And if this happens, they're taking CJ Stroud.
Right. They're trading up for Stroud because he's a polished pro ready quarterback. And yeah, they have Ritter in the building. But if you tell Atlanta that they have a chance at either Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, I think they make that move because that is a roster in complete upheaval. They've done a lot of work on the defensive side of the ball, but they need an answer at franchise quarterback. And if they got a shot at CJ Stroud, I think they go make it happen.
Yep, I agree. So that's what we're going to do here for the sake of fun. CJ Stroud goes third here to the Atlanta Falcons. Now we've got Indianapolis on the clock. They're going quarterback here, right?
I think it's Richardson too, and I think they shoot for the moon on this one. You know what I mean? That Richardson has all the upside in the world. He blew the top off their home stadium at the combine. they, you know, I think that it's one of those situations where if they're sitting here and Richardson was available to them, I think that they make that pick in a heartbeat, take the massive upside athletic quarterback. They shoot for upside because I think that's what you do at the quarterback position. I don't think you play it safe at quarterback. If you hit on one of these uber athletic quarterbacks, you hit massively. We've seen it happen over the last 5 years or so in the NFL draft. So I think that they're going for straight upside here and taking Anthony Richardson. You're muted, bud.
We know how involved Jim Irsay is in the decisions of this team. And I'm pretty sure Jim Irsay would marry Anthony Richardson at this point. So makes no sense to me. So we've got Richardson to the Colts at 5 or 4. Now we've got Seattle on the clock at 5. There's been a lot of talk about them wanting a quarterback at 5 as well. But I don't know that that's what we're going to see happen. With Levis being kind of the best quarterback available at this point, and I mean, you've got Hendon Hooker as well, who I could see landing there later in the first round. But with this pick, I think this is Jalen Carter. They had a terrible run defense last season. Absolutely atrocious. Worst in the league almost. Jalen Carter fixes that problem. And for a guy who they're character concerns with, there isn't a better landing spot than Seattle. Pete Carroll works with these guys. They have an in-house therapist. They all go see once a week. They do. Yep. There isn't a better situation for Carter. So no need to continue talking about it. Let's get Carter there to Seattle at 5. Now here's where it gets interesting. Mm-hmm. Got the Lions on the clock here at 6. There are a couple ways I think they may go here, and it's either Christian Gonzalez or Devin Witherspoon. They need corner help.
I agree.
They let CJ Gardner-Johnson go. So I know that for you, Christian Gonzalez is the best corner in this class.
Yeah, he's my guy.
Do you think that's where Detroit goes?
So Detroit had a really fascinating free agency period where they basically went out, spent a whole bunch of money, and now have a really veteran defensive secondary that's incredibly talented and full of upside and veteran experience. I think they noticed that that was their biggest glaring weakness, and they were like, no, we need to fix that, and they took steps to do it in free agency. I don't really know if corner is their number one need anymore. I wouldn't be surprised if they went that route, but I also really wouldn't be surprised to see Tyree Wilson. I don't think that
I they could can see that too. That's interesting. I can see that too.
Really, really athletic, defensive end on the opposite side of Aiden Hutchinson. I think Tyree Wilson would be an interesting fit in that Dan Campbell defense.
Well, see, now this is interesting because I mocked Nolan Smith to them.
Later. Okay.
Not at this pick. It was 16, 17, whatever, 18 that they've got. And I had them taking Devin Witherspoon here. But I get the argument because Tyree Wilson, I would rather have Tyree Wilson than Nolan Smith. I think you sold me on it. So we're going to go here. Tyree Wilson to the Lions at 6. Now we're on to the Raiders at 7. I don't see a world in which they don't take Will Levis at this pick.
I could see it. I could. They have so many needs. They have a lot of needs on offensive line.
Sure. I mean, I could see him going with Skoronski. I could see that.
I could see Skoronski because he's just such a smart offensive lineman that gives him a lot of flexibility. But Levis, are you telling me that Jimmy Garoppolo is their answer long term? That they really Absolutely think that, that he is?
It's Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, we're just recreating a New England West.
Yes.
Let's go with Levis. He's got the physical tools. He's got the makeup. He really needs to improve on his decision making and his turnover issues. Those have really plagued him throughout college. But
this is a great situation where he has time to work on that stuff now because you've got Jimmy G, who we know will play the first 8 games, and that's probably it.
Jimmy G is now a perennial bridge quarterback, is what he's turning into for teams. They're going to sign him to 2-year deals.
If it gets you paid, who cares, right? Man, right?
Yeah. But so it gives them flexibility because Jimmy G is a pro. If he can play a whole season and they think that he gives them the best chance of winning, absolutely, he could start for an entire season. If Will Levis really picks up the playbook and is looking good halfway through the season, you can make the switch.
Well, I don't know what this mock draft is doing here. It did not switch out the picks properly. It's got the Falcons back on the clock at 8.
Oh, interesting.
Right.
Okay, well, that was Arizona.
So we're just going to – this is Arizona's pick for all intents and purposes. They need defensive help. Where do you think they go here? I mean, they really need defensive line help. Is it? I mean, this could be Kalijah Kansi.
God, did he ever skyrocket up draft boards in the last few months?
No kidding. No kidding.
That is insane.
But I don't hate it. I mean, again, he's an interior defensive lineman. It fills a need. Their run defense was was almost as bad as Seattle's last year. You bring in a guy like Kansi, who's fast for a defensive lineman. I mean, I think it fits.
Yeah, he's uber athletic. That's a ballsy pick if that's what they do, is they trade down and take Kalijah Kansi. I could also see that being corner. They could still go one of those two routes. To me, the corners are higher grades than Kansi is. I like Kansi a lot, but it feels too rich for me.
Gotcha.
Witherspoon, I think, is more of a fit for some reason in Arizona than Gonzalez, even though I like Gonzalez more. Witherspoon seems like he's more kind of polished in a sense and more heady about the game. And Gonzalez is more rangy, athletic, ball hawk. And I could see them leaning kind of that polished route with Witherspoon with this pick.
I'm for it. So we've got Devin Witherspoon to the Falcons. Nope. To the Cardinals. PFF. Now we've got the Bears on the clock at 9. John, who are your Bears going to take here?
To me, it's Paris Johnson. That's my pick for them. I love Peter Skoronski, but I could absolutely see this being a true tackle in Paris Johnson. Skoronski is very smart about the game, rarely makes mistakes. He's super heady about it. The arm length is a bit of a concern. He's going to have to overcome that a lot in the NFL if he's going to play tackle. Like, he's going to defensive ends are going to come up and they're going to give him like that one arm lean. You know what I mean? Where they try to like lock him with one arm. He's going to have to get really good at chopping and pulling people down. So, which he is good at, it is one of his best moves. But to me, Paris Johnson is my guy for the Bears at 9. If he is on the board, this is my pick for them. Now, I will say, before we go this route, little caveat, and it's a crazy caveat, but a little caveat. Ryan Poles has said time and time again that it's best player available, and he has really made that a priority in the way that he's approached free agency in the draft for the last couple of years. What if it's Bijan? And it's stupid in a sense, but in another sense, he's one of the only elite blue chip players in this draft. And you give an offensive backfield with Justin Fields and Bijan Robinson running, you know, zone reads off the edge, off like zone schemes. I have a hard time thinking that defenses would be able to account for that. I think that Ryan Poles is very, very good at finding mid-round talent on the offensive line. Their starting left tackle for all 17 games last year was a fifth-round pick out of Southern Utah University. Like, he knows how to evaluate offensive linemen. So that's my little caveat. I'm still like 90% Paris Johnson as being my pick here, but I just wanted to throw that possibility into the universe in case a week from tomorrow it happens.
I could see it. I could see any of these teams taking Bijan. I could see Atlanta sticking at 8 and taking him.
Yep.
We've got,
he's that good. It's just the position that he plays. How much do you value it in your organization? But Bijan's probably a top 5 talent in this draft. Mm-hmm. Outside of the quarterback position, he's probably top 3. Like, he's that good of a player. It's just how much do you value the running back position?
Sure. And for the Bears, like, I hear what you're saying, but they have so many other needs. And they have a running back. They have Khalil Herbert, right?
And they've got Foreman. And they got Deonta Foreman. So I think that they're good there. But Poles always says blue chip player. Like, that's the thing that he says time and time again. So I just have this like nagging thing in the back of my head that if you're talking blue chip player, Bijan Robinson's a blue chip player. And it could happen, but I'm sticking with offensive linemen for this exercise.
All right, so now we're on to pick 10, and you know what I think is going to happen here.
Now it's Bijan.
Now it's Bijan.
Yeah.
It had been just like, talked about it on the In Between show last night. We did a mock draft, and it just makes the most sense to me. Like, what this pick sets the Eagles apart from the rest of the league. Plain and simple. This move puts them in the Super Bowl and gives them the opportunity to beat whoever the AFC puts out, who's either going to be the Bengals, the Bills, or the Chiefs, more than likely. But it just gives them that extra dynamic. And this is a move that allows Jalen Hurts to grow, in my
Everything that I just said about Justin Fields and Bijan Robinson, okay, Jalen Hurts, same thing. Yep. Zone read options off the edge with a wide receiver core of Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown. You're set at tight end as well with Goddard. Like, you're loaded. Your offensive line came back. You brought back Jason Kelce. This is an embarrassment of riches pick.
Yes.
And if you have an embarrassment of riches, take the best player on the board that fills an immediate need, which is running back, because they lost Miles Sanders, and they went out and they signed Rashad Penny, who has not been able to stay on the field
right.
in his NFL career. So, dude, get the stud. Like, if it's Bijan to Philly, I'm like Howie Roseman for executive of the year again for the 15,000th time. Like, he's just so damn good.
Right. Okay, so now we're on to pick 11. We've got Bijan at 10 to the Eagles. Pick 11, we've got the Tennessee Titans here. There's a number of ways I feel like this could go for the Titans because they have so many needs. Like, PFF here says wide receiver and offensive lineman. The only thing they don't need is a running back. And they do need a running back, just a later round running back.
Because
Derrick Henry's not going to last forever. I mean, the cliff is coming, right? I mean, maybe not this year, but 2024, 2025, he can't sustain this production and stay healthy. So what do you think they do here? Because I've seen teams think that's going to be Quentin Johnson. I've seen people think it's going to be Skoronski, Gonzalez, Jackson Smith, and Jigba, because they really do need a receiver. They've got Treylon Burks, and that's it. Which direction do you think they go here, John?
I think that on a team that needs everything, you build from the trenches. And I think that it's Peter Skoronski. You get a heady offensive lineman who has flexibility to play all across the offensive line. You can move him around to create your best starting five. I think it's Skoronski there. If it's one of the wide receivers, I'm going to be so sad. Like, I'll be so sad for that wide receiver if they go if they go there. Speaking of the running back position, Condre Miller and Roschon Johnson are two names to watch, I think, in the mid rounds for Tennessee. If you're looking for a physical running back to replace the aging out of Derrick Henry, those would be interesting names to watch. But I think Peter Skoronski would be a home run pick for them if he falls to 11.
Yeah, I'm with you. So now we're up to pick 12. So we've got Skoronski to the Titans here at 11. Pick 12, we've got the Houston Texans. They address their defensive need. They're probably not going to take a quarterback here, I would assume. Is this like Quentin Johnson? Is this where Quentin Johnson goes? He seems to be the type of wide receiver that would fit into a DeMeco Ryans team. Big, physical, doesn't need to be a playmaker week one. Because the Texans know they're not going to do
well. They're not contending. They're never going to say it. DeMeco Ryans will never say we're not competing. But
they're not competing.
They're not competing.
Plain and simple. Is this – I mean, this seems like such a Texans thing to do, is to take Quentin Johnson with the 12th pick without taking a quarterback. Maybe they think they can give Davis Mills another weapon and he'll take a step forward in 2023. My 13 shares of Davis Mills in Dynasty, certainly. I hope that's the case.
That's funny. This gets really interesting to me because I have not gone through a mock playing out the situation that I played out where they take Will Anderson and not a quarterback. And it changes everything about the dynamic of this pick.
It does.
I'm trying to think through it live, which is a dangerous thing to do. But they go Will Anderson, they punt on quarterback. Okay. Davis Mills is like not the long-term guy. You're putting yourself in a position to hopefully be able to take a quarterback again next year. I don't know if they would go wide receiver here. I don't know. They might though, because they've got nothing. Now, hopefully
that's the thing.
Hopefully, you know, we see John Mechie get back on the field.
Right.
That would be great. Like, I would love to see that just as a personal story. That'd be awesome.
And he's
maybe they do kind of covet the big outside wide receiver here because they're hoping that John Mechie gets back on the field in the slot.
Yep. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, they don't have this type of receiver on the roster now. They didn't address it in free agency. Quentin Johnson's sitting there at 12. A lot of people we'll be surprised to see him be the first wide receiver come off the board.
But I would. Yeah, I'd be shocked.
In this scenario, it's absolutely 100% something that could happen. So now we've got the Texans taking Quentin Johnson at 12. We've got the New York Jets on the clock. Really, what they need is an offensive lineman. They need somebody to protect Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
But at this point, like you're going back to Darnell Wright as far as draft grades here.
You know, I wouldn't really be all that shocked to see Broderick Jones. I know it seems like a bit of a reach in terms of like value for him in terms of where he's being mocked all over the place, but dude is big and he's nasty. Yeah, like he's, you know, ranked 26. This is maybe 10 picks early, but if you're looking at a team with needs and you're thinking that you're going to bring in Aaron Rodgers, assuming that ever gets done.
Right.
God, but your running back position is set. They're probably going to add a mid-round running back just for depth to that roster while they have Breece Hall recovering from injury. But other than that, you're good at running back. You've got young, talented wide receivers all over the board. You're not going to use a pick here on like a Jackson Smith and Jigba. Your defense is really good. Looked really promising last year. I think that offensive line is what they need. Broderick Jones is big and he's nasty. And he's a lot of fun at offensive tackle. He was throwing people out the club during the combine. It was so funny to see. So, yeah, I think Broderick Jones would be an interesting fit for the Jets.
Let's do it. I mean, it's really – that's what they need to protect Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. So
offensive linemen always seem to go earlier than people think they're going to go anyways. Like, you can never have enough offensive lineman. So he's mocked around 26. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes at 13 to 18.
All it tells you is that, John, we're shitty at grading offensive linemen. So that's all you need to know. All right, so now we're on to pick 14. We got Broderick Jones to the Jets at 13. Now we've got the Patriots on the clock at 15. What do you think they're going to do here? We've heard rumblings that they might try and trade around and snag a quarterback at some point in this draft as well because they don't love Mac Jones. But for me, I think this is where Christian Gonzalez goes.
I think so. You've got Christian Gonzalez and Jackson Smith and Jigba are two of my highest ranked players on the board. And this is like the lowest that I've mocked either one of the two of them going so far. But based on just how things shook out at the top with the trades that we kind of orchestrated in the scenario with Houston, it really shakes up the top of the board. I think that New England would be thrilled if Gonzo was sitting here for them.
Yeah. So that's if he's on the board, that is the pick. People tend to forget that Bill Belichick is a defensive minded coach.
Oh, yeah.
He was a defensive coordinator. That's where he came up with the Giants is and those ridiculous Lawrence Taylor defenses.
Bill Parcells.
In the 80s and 90s with Bill Parcells. Right. Yeah. So now we've got Christian Gonzalez to the Patriots at 14. We're sitting at 15. We've got the Green Bay Packers on the clock. Apparently, according to PFF, they need a quarterback, a wide receiver, a tight end, a defensive lineman, and a safety. But I think where they're going to go in this first round is defense.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I was going to say it was going to be Jackson Smith and Jigba, and my heart would break if I had to go against him for the next 10 years.
Well, I've heard people talking about like they need to get an elite receiver. Well, what's Christian Watson? And don't forget about Romeo Doubs taking a step forward last season.
Right.
Like by the end of the season, he was looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
If they were going to go with a skill position player here, it would be Dalton Kincaid, in my opinion. That would be really interesting.
But they lost Big Bob Tonyan to my Bears.
Yeah, that still makes me angry. So I think it's either Kincaid or Kansi. Because they need a better run defense.
And they really do.
Kansi's that guy. It's not the sexy pick. It's not the sexy pick. But I think they're going Kansi here. Now, man, wouldn't it be crazy if like we nailed the first round? We watched next
year
and we're like, wow, we're smart, right?
Look at how smart we are. The funny thing is that I actually saw something that statistically it's harder to pick every pick in the first round of an NFL draft than it is to nail a March Madness bracket.
That tracks. That absolutely tracks. Okay, so now we're on to pick 16. We got Kalijah Kancey to the Packers here at 15. Now we've got the Commanders on the board at 16. I don't have a really good sense of what they're going to do here, but I feel like it's probably offensive line. get some protection for Howell, because again, they don't really need skill position players. They could use a quarterback. I can't
believe how far Jaxon Smith-Njigba is falling in this mock. I don't think they're going to go Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I don't think I don't think that makes any sense for them.
No, they've got Dotson, Curtis Samuel, Terry McLaurin, like we talked about earlier. Like, they're set at wide receiver.
Van Ness would be really interesting. I could see that being a pick for them. I also I heard that they brought in Deonte Banks for a
workout. That was the other player I was going to say.
And that they're really high on him. So, I mean, both of those would fit. They've got a lot of needs. I could also see offensive line, but maybe they're looking day two for offensive line.
I think they're looking day two for that.
So, yeah. I kind of like Deonte Banks here. Stays in the Maryland area.
It makes sense. They
seem to really like him.
Yep. So we're going to go Deonte Banks here at 16th pick for the Commanders. Now we're at the Steelers, pick 17.
It's Joey Porter written in pen. Like, if it just feels like it's going to happen, right? It's the legacy pick. It fits a direct need. He's a talented player. He's a kind of versatile defender from Mike Tomlin. If it's Joey Porter Jr. putting on that black and gold again, like, that's just fun. Yeah. Like, it's just a fun story.
Yep. No, I completely agree. And this is one of those picks that I just really want to see happen in this draft. I want to see Porter Jr. going to where his dad played. All right, so Porter to the Steelers here at 17. Now we've got the Detroit Lions back on the clock at 18. I think they continue with defense here.
I think so. Brian Branch, to me, really stands out as a versatile option. I don't think they're going back to the defensive line. I don't think they're going to double down there. No. So to me, I think that it's Brian Branch, give you some versatility at safety. I think that would be a really interesting thing. Like I said, they spent a lot in free agency in their secondary for sure, but you still need options. You still need flexibility. You still need talent there. So I think that they just continue to bulk up that area. That Lions roster, man, all of a sudden is looking really good.
Right?
Yeah.
Dude, this is a team that I think they could win this division.
Oh, God, I do too, and it makes me sad.
And I think they could win this division fairly easily. But Brian Branch, dude, that'd be a huge haul for them. They can get Brian Branch. So now we're to pick 19. We've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the clock. And I want to throw something out. We worked a trade. They traded back to, I think, 22 or 23. In our mock last night to take Hendon Hooker.
I could see that. What team? Okay. So what team is pounding the table right now for Jaxon Smith-Njigba? If he's sliding, cause this is further down than I've seen him. Like,
well, I'll tell you exactly where I think he's going. Anywhere. He's going to the Chargers.
So the Chargers want to leapfrog Seattle. I don't think that they need to get in front of Seattle for a wide receiver.
No, they don't.
So maybe it's another team trying to get in front of the Chargers. Is it the Vikings who just lost Adam Thielen and look at Jaxon Smith-Njigba as a route runner underneath guy to Justin Jefferson cooking on the outside? That would be very interesting to me. If you have Tampa trading down to try to take Hendon Hooker and the Vikings saying, we love Jaxon Smith-Njigba and we need to get in front of the Chargers and the Ravens.
Yeah.
So that would pan out. And again, I'm putting him in my division. So that's awesome.
All right. So this is
as a Bears fan, I'd be so mad. But yeah, this makes a lot of sense. For fantasy, this would be gold. If he goes to Minnesota, oh my God.
I can see it happening. Yeah, I can absolutely see it happening. So we're gonna force that trade because PFF's like, hell no, I don't care. We don't
see
care.
Now would actually seem to happen. We can actually see that Tampa and Minnesota change places.
Yes, thank God. Yeah. User error last time. Jaxon Smith-Njigba to the Vikings. Now we've got the Seahawks at 20. We've heard rumblings that they might be someone who like Hendon Hooker as well. Put him behind Geno Smith for a season or two. But I don't see them wanting to spend the 20th pick on it, especially when they have other needs. And I think this is where they address their offensive line. And I think this is probably where Darnell Wright goes.
Yeah, I would like that. That'd be a really interesting pick. Hold on. My dog is whining. Charlie, relax. You're fine. I think that would be a really interesting pick for them. their O-line actually was kind of surprisingly good last year. They really circled in the draft and brought in two guys that can really help them. But I do think that I could see them double down there. I'm trying to think if there's any defensive line that would make sense.
I mean, maybe Brian Bresee. Maybe.
Yeah.
I could see that. But
or Nolan Smith. And just really Nolan go Smith. After pass rush in this draft. Who do we have to them at a five? Oh, it was Jalen Carter.
They're not taking Bresee. They're not going to double up on that interior line. But I could see them going Nolan Smith. Get that edge rusher. Get that pass. You know what? Just for fun. Let's do it.
That'd be dirty. Yeah.
Okay, so now Miami. Miami's forfeited pick. Thanks, Jeffrey Ross, you moron. Now we've got the Chargers on the clock. They lost out on Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Jordan Addison.
You think it's Jordan Addison here?
I think so. I agree with you. A really interesting fit for them as well. So yeah, I think Jordan Addison. I think they're going to take one of these wide receivers. I think they would be thrilled if Jaxon Smith-Njigba falls to them, but I think it is incredibly unlikely. And if it's not going to be him, I think it's Addison or Zay Flowers. So I really like Addison here. I do too.
And I think that's if, like you said, if they don't get JSN, they're going to get Jordan Addison. He fits that offense.
Yep.
He fits what? Why can't I can't think of their coach's name. Wow. Chargers head coach. Why can't I think of his name?
Staley. Oh, I just wanted to leave you on a limb for a second. I'm like, is he going to figure it out? No, he's not. He's not going to get it.
Oh, Brandon Staley. God. This is my first time talking about football, right? Maybe. We've got Addison in that Staley offense. I think that's a phenomenal fit. Now we've got the Ravens on the clock at 22. I thought there was a chance they were probably going to go after a wide receiver, but the guys that they would want are gone. The next offensive playmaker I could see them maybe taking is Dalton Kincaid, but then I remember that Isaiah Likely's about to bust out in 2023, so that's unlikely. Uh-huh. I think this is maybe where they get an edge rusher.
Yeah,
I think it's probably Luke Van Ness. His play style fits what Baltimore does. Smash mouth out of Iowa. Like, what more do you want in this offense? So we're gonna do it. We're gonna go Lucas Van Ness to the Ravens at 22, and we already know what we're doing with this Minnesota pick.
Yep.
So let me find it here.
Hendon Hooker to Tampa Bay.
Boom. I think this is one of the better landing spots for Hooker because, plain and simple, he can sit behind Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask for a season.
Yep.
Maybe he progresses fast enough to where he's starting at the back end of the season, but make no mistake about it, this Tampa Bay team thinks they can still win.
Oh, yeah, they do. They're delusional.
They're delusional. They might not be delusional in that division, though.
In that division,
like, if we're talking about it.
I think they might be able to make the playoffs. Okay. I don't think it's going to take much in that division.
So now we've got Hendon Hooker at 23 here to Tampa Bay after the trade. Now we've got Jacksonville on the clock. And again, this is a team that if you look at like on offense, they don't need anything. Mm-hmm. They really don't. I mean, they could use some offensive line help, but I think they can address that later in the draft. Yeah. I think Miles Murphy might be the guy here.
That's who I was just circling. They need pass rush. And I think Miles Murphy has some kind of untapped upside there to be able to get after the quarterback. So I'm going to say it's Miles Murphy.
Yep, I agree with you. Wow, we're agreeing so much here, John. This is
it's amazing so how that lovely, happens.
Right? Okay, so now we've got the New York Giants on the clock at 25.
It's wide receiver all day long. And to me, it's Zay Flowers. I will also put Josh Downs in the conversation if they really kind of covet the deep ability. I wouldn't be surprised because I keep seeing the comp of Josh Downs to T.Y. Hilton, which
that's a fair comp.
It's a really good comp. I think that's the ceiling is a T.Y. Hilton type, which is a great ceiling. T.Y. Hilton in his prime, dude,
electric
the ghost. He was just gone deep all the time. So this would really help stretch out their offense. It would really help take the top off defenses. They've been looking for a wide receiver like this for a couple years. It would be a bit of a stretch. I have Zay Flowers ranked above Josh Downs, but not by much.
Right.
But I think he fits what they're looking for. So I actually am talking myself into this.
Yeah. We're going to go Josh Downs here at 25 to the New York Giants, 26 division rival team that I hate with a passion, have since I was a child.
Hey,
the Dallas Cowboys. at 26. Yep. We know Jerry wanted Bijan. Bijan's gone. Does he reach on Jahmyr Gibbs here? Pair him with Tony Pollard?
Sure does.
See, and that's, I know I haven't heard a lot of people talking about it, but I feel it in my bones.
So do I. That one keeps rattling around to me. You want just a playmaker with the ball in his hand? It's Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yep.
And he and Pollard are just an interesting duo that have similar skill sets. I think what's going to be interesting is you could draw up offenses where both guys are on the field at the same time and defenses aren't really going to know what each one's going to do because they can each run routes. They can each, you know, create in space. But Gibbs, man, he has such a ridiculously high upside when he gets the ball. He's just electric in the open field. So
could you imagine this offense with, dude, they could have Tony Pollard and Jahmyr Gibbs for the next five seasons because Pollard's only 25.
Yeah, with CeeDee Lamb and then a day two wide receiver.
And a better quarterback. Anyway, let's move on. All right, so now we're just out here having fun, guys. Don't hate on us. Now we've got the Buffalo Bills on the clock at 27. I have no clue which way they're going to go.
I don't either. I know that they need a second wide receiver. I don't know if they feel like they need to take that in the first round or if they're going to address it in the mid rounds.
I think that seems like a mid round.
It does to me too. I am really torn on what to go with here. Defensive line, linebacker, they need corner help. It's interesting because this roster looks like it's set to go and then they just fall short every year. So I don't really know what the glaring weakness is here. Is there any desire to trade down? Is there a team that wants to come up for Dalton Kincaid? Does someone need to jump Cincinnati? Are they going to trade up in the first round for a tight end though? Like, I don't know.
Depends on how you view the position. I don't think so. I think Buffalo goes interior. I think they go with Bressy here.
I think so. It's kind of one of those things where you can never have enough in the trenches, right? And if you don't really know where else to go, you kind of just default to, well, what do we need? You can always use rotational pieces on the defensive line. Yep, so exactly.
Bressy's the perfect guy for that. So we're going to go ahead and do it here. Now at 28, we have got, I know where this pick is going. It's Dalton Kincaid to the Bengals here at 28.
Yeah.
And it hurts my heart for Dalton Kincaid that he fell this far, but it's a great situation for him. Really? So we've got Kincaid at 28 to the Bengals. Now we've got the Saints on the clock with pick 29. I think they wanted Jahmyr Gibbs. They didn't get Jahmyr Gibbs. They're not going to reach on a guy like Tyjae Spears because they don't need to. They can get him in the second round, third round if they want him.
Right.
I think we see more defense. I could see Will McDonald from Iowa State landing here.
Yeah, McDonald has been climbing. Mazi Smith has been climbing. I don't know. This is kind of a tough one too. This is a team that needs a lot of things. Yes. They're also going to need offensive line help.
Maybe this is where Darnell Wright goes then.
Maybe. You know, I like him a lot as an offensive line. I think that he's a very natural right tackle. And I think that would actually be a really savvy pick for them, would be to take Darnell Wright, put on that offensive line, kind of shake your offensive line around to get the best players on the field that you can while you're kind of, you know, they just brought in Derek Carr and you need to protect him. You need to make sure that the line is set in front of him. You know, in Las Vegas, he struggled when pressure would collapse on him and would force him.
He had one of the worst pressure throw rates in the league last year.
So yeah, actually talking through this in my head, I think that Darnell Wright makes a lot of sense. Let's shore up the offensive line in front of Carr and try to give him a clean pocket. Same.
So we're going to go ahead. I mean, I could have seen a world where they went after maybe Michael Mayer, but this is a more glaring need for them.
Yeah.
And again, they can, if they want to address tight end later in the draft, you've got other guys, Sam LaPorta, you've got Zach Kuntz. Mm-hmm. So
there's so many,
there's so many.
There's so many tight ends in this draft.
So we're down to our last two picks, man. We've got the Eagles on the clock here at 30. I'm not sure which way they're going to go here. I wonder if they might go after Emmanuel Forbes.
I like Forbes for them.
It'd be right around his grade.
It would be. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think that they were able to retain some people in the secondary and free agency, but they also lost out a little bit. I could see them wanting some more kind of youth in that secondary too. They already swung for the fences with Bijan in the early first at pick 10. So to me, I think taking kind of a steady secondary option here to kind of fill out some back-end needs would make a lot of sense. And also by doing that, unintentionally, what did we talk about in the news section with one Mr. Patrick Mahomes? Who did they bring in?
Mr. Zay Flowers, my friend.
Guess who's still on the board?
It's Zay Flowers, my friend.
Zay Flowers is still on the board with the last pick in the first round. This would just be the stars aligning.
Now it's going to tell us how bad our draft was.
Congratulations, you did it.
You did it. Woohoo. Guys, we'll get this posted on social media later today. Very interesting draft, John. We've had three iterations of this now. I've done like 30, I feel like, at this point. And they all land different. But my favorite thing is Will Anderson. Will Anderson pick at 2. The Texans just causing absolute chaos in this draft. And it does. It
upheaves the entire first round.
And it does. Yeah. I just hope this is what we see. Like, I want to see chaos. I want to see difference. I want to see Jordan Addison going to the Chargers. I want to see Hendon Hooker in Tampa Bay. I think he's a first-round talent at quarterback.
You know what I want to see? I want to see C.J. Stroud throwing to Drake London and Kyle Pitts.
Right?
That's what I want to see. Oh God.
Please come save Kyle Pitts. Please come save Kyle Pitts.
And then Stroud will average 19 pass attempts per game in an offense that wants to run it down.
Can't wait. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in today for this fantastic final mock draft of the season. We'll be back next week to talk about what we think is going to happen in the draft. And I'm sure that there's going to be plenty of crazy news the day before the draft.
Yeah,
we're going to try and bring on some awesome guests. We're going to have a blast. So until next week, guys, keep it real. I stay loose, I stay hype. I stay loose, I stay hype. I stay loose, I stay hype. I could do this all night, 'cause I do.